Talking hockey in the afternoon, the Big Show with Rob Kerr and Pat Steinberg is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I guess if you're on the bench, you're more a spectator than kind of into the game. I mean, you're sure you follow it and you kind of feel the up and down of the team and everything. So I was kind of prepared that we go to overtime anyway. But yeah, then I was worried because I saw we took two penalties there in a row. And then suddenly, next thing I know, I was on the ice.
Just think about that for a second. If you've ever had the luxury, the honor, the privilege of being in the union and strapping on the gear and going between the 6x4 and protecting it, if you've ever done that, then I think you have a little bit, not all of it, but I think you have a little bit of the perspective of one Jonas Hiller last night. It is a position unique unto itself. It is a position unique unto itself in North American professional sports. Dare I say, it's a lonely business, one full of heroes. And last night, Jonas Hiller made himself a hero. Think about it just for a second. You're sitting at the end of the bench watching this wild, woolly, whatever it is that the Flames and the San Jose Sharks are playing in. You're watching your team constantly going to the penalty box. But you got to, what role do you have to play? There's less than 5 minutes to go. What bad could possibly come? Well, Cairamo got bowled over. And the end of a sequence which involved two legitimate minors for the Calgary Flames in a tied hockey game. So now you come off the bench cold, in facing a full 5-on-3 for 2 minutes with the game on the line. And you win? Sorry, I've seen a lot of things. I've done a lot of things. I know a lot of people. They know a lot of people. They've seen a lot of things. They've done a lot of things. That one's new for me. I'm sorry. That's the best part about this job. The hell with analyzing it. The hell with breaking that game down. That was when you sit back and you marvel at it and you go, that's a spectacle. It was a spectacle, Pat. I'm here to tell you, sir. What you worked on last night, what you watched right here at Shanks, Crowfoot Terrace in the Northwest, what kept you up until the wee hours of the morning.
She went late last night.
Is a spectacle. One of which you may never see again. And that's why we watch. You just never, never know what Jonas Hiller, and I am not taking a shot at Greg Millen, not whatsoever, but to have that game called by the analyst. While the puck is still moving up and down the ice, only to have the analyst come back and go, wait a minute, I'm wrong. And it go all the way to an extra shooter. The only thing that would have made that better is if they went through 18 shooters. But that wouldn't be fair to you. So
I don't think they're really worried about what's fair to me.
Nah, but it was That's a spectacle fine. Without going through the 18 shooters.
I mean, look, you get those games like once or twice a year where you get those kind of games. It was like, holy cow, it goes back and forth and that type of stuff. And that was last night. If you had no rooting interest and you just turned that, it was the last game on, and like it was the last game, you had like an hour or so when all the games were done. So if you were watching in Edmonton or Vancouver or Toronto and
they
turned that game on, you're like, oh, this is a pretty fun little hockey game. Like, there was very little fundamentally to like about that game, especially from the visitors. But all those mistakes led to back and forth hockey. And every once in a while, mistakes can...
You want more goals. You want more action.
I'm not one of those that advocates heavily for more goals.
I advocate heavily for mistakes.
I like tight hockey games.
I am big on mistakes. Give me mistakes. I want mistakes in my radio shows. I want mistakes in my hockey. I want mistakes.
And I prefer a closer hockey game. I prefer, fundamentally, strong hockey where the goals mean so much
more. That's because you're a stick in the mud. That's because you're a stick in the mud.
I'm not alone.
You are alone. Nobody else thinks the way you do anywhere.
I wish I was that you. But you know what?
No,
like tight hockey, even I could admit that was pretty fun.
Yeah, because you don't want uniformity. You don't want the same script every day.
Well, and that's what was fun because it was completely off the script.
But do you, sir? Because I don't. I own the equipment, but I'm not even going to try and put myself into the position of Jonas Hiller. I've never seen anything like that, nor would I have ever been in that. I mean, my only claim to fame, Pat, is winning a couple of games at the SO 3-on-3 hockey tournament is the talking goalie, which is, of course, a pressure that Jonas Hiller didn't have to do. It's not like Rick Ball gave him the microphone and said, well, go ahead and do play-by-play, too. No, that wasn't the case, and I've done that, but that's all right. That's neither here nor there. But have you ever You ever been in that situation? You ever? I mean, what's the equivalent of sitting at the end of the bench in the National Hockey League, not physically working?
It's the quarterback who goes in when the starter goes down in a tough game. I mean, it's. But what's even more different is you can't go in as a. I guess if you're going in,
why
didn't
you take away the offensive line?
Well, you're backed up on the 1 yard line or something like that. I guess that's the only equivalent you can put in, because it was a 5-on-3 advantage that he faced. And I'll give the post and the crossbar some credit too, because boy, did the Sharks hit a bunch of those.
Dude.
But
boys,
holy,
you know, as we say in the Union. Because, of course, I'm in the Union today. Now, after that, you kidding me? I'm back in
You're
the Union.
You're back in.
I'm back in the
card-carrying
Union. I'm a card-carrying member of the Union. But you know what they say. Any good goalie will tell you, that's all I gave him. That's all I gave him. That's all he had. That's all he had. That's all he had. I don't know. I mean, you sit there, and we take ourselves so damn seriously. I do, anyway. I'm sitting at, you know, watching the game with my wife, and I go, well, it's over. I mean, you know, look at the power play, and what they had already had 3 power play goals that game, right? They had already scored on 1-5-on-3. Not just outside of the context of that one game, San Jose has been on this incredible run, have they not, with their power play of late? They're going into the game last night, their power play was fourth best in the National Hockey. There was no reason to think that a cold goalie could come off the bench for 2 minutes and keep that group at bay. Somehow he did. Yet, Pat, he was almost better in the overtime. He made a couple of bang-bang saves. And I have a criticism of Jonas Hiller this year, and you've heard me say it. Jonas Hiller has now turned into a guy that just makes himself big, stands there, and waits for the puck to hit him. I take you back to that New York Ranger game in the third period. How many pucks just floated by him because he just tried to make? He made saves. He was making saves. That was fun.
And
costly, but fun.
You know, certainly costly. I mean, get into that.
We'll get
second,
into that in a bit,
But it was funny because in the one way, I agree with the text, because Lou and I, this afternoon, were giving Hiller a lot of credit, and I think you have to. But, you know, somebody texted in and said, yeah, but don't you pay a backup goaltender $4.5 million for that situation? Exactly. That's why you pay him. And I thought, yeah, you know, that's probably accurate, and yet it doesn't take away the amount of credit I give him, because it was still not ideal situations. Yes, your backup goaltender is there to give you reliable goaltending in a pinch if you need it, and that was the definition of a pinch last night.
Based on the season,
still a tough spot.
Based on the season that guy has had. You know, should the expectation be there? Okay, yeah, I see what the guy's saying. Sure, okay, I get. Did anybody really believe that?
I wasn't sure what to think, to be honest with you.
So you thought when he went in that situation, he has a better than average chance?
I thought, the way I looked at it, and this is just my bizarre mind, but I'm like, they've already scored 3 power play goals. The way this game is going, could they score on it? Yeah, but I'm like, it wasn't like I had this. Now, I'm watching from, I don't really have any, like, interest in who wins or loses. I'm just, like, looking at it objectively and analytically, I'm like, I'm not sure whether or not they're going to score here. I mean, they probably have a good chance of it, but, you know, you're not, like, going into it saying, oh, this game is over. That's not the way I looked at it at the time, because they'd already scored the 3 power play goals already.
So you're seriously, right now, sitting within 4 feet of me, telling me that you had a open mind about that situation.
I kind of did. It was weird.
Between you and Wills, yesterday, Wills comes on, and I asked him, you had that great question about San Jose.
Yeah.
Right? You asked Lou, you asked me, I asked you. We all answered that question, and I asked it to Wills. You know, did we underestimate
both Lou and Wills say, oh, no, we didn't underestimate them.
Oh, I didn't know Lou said that.
No, this is exactly what
okay,
I thought.
So I guess I'm the only honest guy on this frickin' station. I'm the only one that'll come on and tell you what I really think.
I am a bold-faced liar.
You are a bold-faced liar, because you did not see Jonas Hiller going in.
No, I did not sit there saying that Jonas Hiller was going to be the story. Right. I more just thought, odds-wise, San Jose's got a chance here, but I don't know if they're going to score. I didn't necessarily think Hiller was going to be the story coming out of that game, because then he goes in, makes a couple of 10 bell stomps in overtime, and 3 of 4 in a shootout. Like, I did not see that coming.
How would the change story have changed had they lost in the shootout?
The Sharks want to score 3 in a row in the shootout?
Yeah, something like that.
That was actually, to be honest with you, going into the shootout was more where I was like, okay, this is where they're in
time. Especially after that first one.
Yeah, I was like, okay, the Sharks are probably going to win here. But then he makes 3 consecutive stops, and Gaudreau almost scores, and Hudler does score to win it. So
not for me to say, but if I were advising Brian Burke, I would tell him that the thing that the Calgary Flames should put on their list of things to do at the Board of Governors meeting and the General Managers meetings is switch the shootout rules to the IIHF rules like they had in the World Juniors so that the same shooter can shoot. And then you sign Joe Colburn long-term, 8 years, and that's all he does. That's all he does. He takes all of your shootout shots. All of them. 3 for 3 this year. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Not bad. And then, of course, okay, if we're really going to tell stories out of their tails out of school here, I see, I'm going, okay, well, 3 for 3, they go to extra shooters, Sam Bennett. And out comes Jiri Hudler.
Yeah.
And
I thought it was going to be Bennett, too.
And now I'm going, well, okay, great, Bob. You're throwing away the game.
Scores! Oh, I told you.
So maybe nobody else on this radio station is honest. I will be 100% completely
you
honest.
You make an interesting point on Colburn, though. That might get him another one-year contract here. Because, I mean, otherwise,
he's
kind of just replacement level-ish.
Oh, and sure.
But in the shootout, that might get him another one-year contract.
Dude, look, he is what? He's... Roger Million started the Peter Marr Good Guy Award or whatever it is, which is a great idea, which is to honor the flame that works well with the media and everything. It's somewhat self-serving, I suppose, to us. But
he's won it twice.
He's won it both times. And he'll probably win it again this year.
Good dude.
Right. So we'd like to see him stay from that standpoint. This has not been a banner year for him.
No, I don't
mean, But how many guys are under the category of banner years?
That's very true. But at this point in his career, like he's 26 now. So Joe Colburn is now in the kind of is what he is. I don't think we're ever expecting Colburn to be a, everyday top six NHL forward. So, could they let him walk and not qualify him and be no worse for wear? Yeah, and they could. But because of what he does in the shootout, that might be kind of a tipping point for the group to say, okay, yeah, let's give him another contract next year. Because, look, that extra point could be the difference next year between a playoff spot and not a playoff spot.
Could be this year.
Could be this year.
Could be this year.
Not quite as confident this year as perhaps I would.
Oh, no, I'm taking the Derek Liu stance. No, of course they're going to make it. Unless they don't.
Unless they don't.
I'm just kidding, everybody. Pat and I are still friends.
DJ
Powerplay and I have never had a greater bond.
I don't know if I agree.
Speaking of which, where's Rob Cookson's chocolate? I distinctly left it here yesterday so that we could share upon it today. What happened?
I took it home. I thought that's what you were doing.
No, it just wasn't. Oh, man, you took the chocolate home?
I still got, I only had the one piece.
No, it's cool. Dude, take it. Now I'm mad. I wasn't mad before. Now I'm mad. You took the chocolate home.
See, this text comes in.
Yep.
Pat, don't forget you're a nose picker, too, not just a liar. And that's the same number who once saw me, I think, go digging a little bit here at Shanks. And...
Well, who hasn't been? I mean, in the day...
To that I'll say...
The age and day of social media, really, who hasn't been caught?
To that I'll say...
Yeah.
If you're a dude, you pick your nose.
Yeah.
It's just you can't get around it.
I'm doing it right now.
If you're a dude... You pick your nose.
That's what we're taking this break for. And then we'll come back.
Yeah, exactly. Got to clear out.
Did you listen to the morning show?
No, I was asleep. I didn't.
Why? What time did you leave here? Like 6, 7 o'clock?
By the time I was out of here, it was about 1:50. So
oh, great.
By the time I finished working yesterday,
so were they vacuuming
4.
When you left?
Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah, I know. That's the worst.
TVs were off. Music was shut off. It was just me. And they're like, is this idiot going to stop talking at any point? We didn't even start the show.
No, I was thinking about that last night because, the game ended at 11:36 or something like that when it was all said and done.
So by the time you get through all the gay, like the NHL roundup, Bob Hartley and all of that.
I'm not sure I'm allowed to talk about this. Okay, so if you're listening and I'm talking about something I shouldn't be talking about, can we just keep it amongst ourselves? I bet you they broke the curfew last night at the airport.
Oh, the San Jose airport, for sure they did.
Right?
Because it's 11 o'clock, isn't it?
11 or 11:30. I thought it doesn't matter for them to pull up stakes on the circus, pack it up, and get out of Dodge. There have been times where we landed in Oakland and drove back to San Jose, which is not convenient.
Just so you wouldn't break the curfew.
It's possible the Flames might have broke the curfew.
Or maybe they rolled into Oakland and took off from there for that very reason.
You know what? For the sake of everybody, let's just say they did. Let's just say they did that, right?
like the,
go ahead.
I crashed my car once due to nose picking.
What?
Admiring my work and bam, rear-ended a person. Now that is a story.
I'm not 100% sure we all haven't been there.
It's true. What right? do you do at a traffic jam? That's what everybody's doing at the same time.
Can't we all just admit
it? Do not be so high and mighty to think that you don't do that. Even if you are a lovely lady.
Thank you.
You probably do it. But
there you go.
If you're a dude, you definitely do.
Oh, and for those of you who are squeamish, you've already turned off the radio. Later on, Brad Pascal, Flames assistant general manager. Is he the GM of Stockton? Oh, of course I'm going to. Is he the GM of Stockton? Does he get that title too? Or is that just his role? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Like, was Conroy the GM of the Stockton Heat or the Abbotsford Heat?
No, I don't.
Adirondack Flames?
Quad City
Flames?
Yeah, the Axar Band Knights. Lowell.
Oh, that's right. Lowell, St. John's.
See, Brad Treliving was actually the general manager of the Portland Pirates, I believe, when he was
in Arizona.
When he was in Arizona. Yeah. So we'll ask. We got our first question for Brad Pascal on Inside Hockey at 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Got a few of them now.
Is there anything else? Did you listen to the morning show? No, we determined that.
What?
You talk about an awkward show. I mean, to talk about things that they were trying to sanitize. Listening to Rhett talk about vibrators was interesting this morning. Ooh. Let's just say, you know, we're off to we've got a big pair of shoes to fill this afternoon.
My alarm goes at 8, and then I got another alarm at 8:30, and then another one at 9:10. Apparently, while asleep, I kept hitting snooze on the iPhone. I eventually woke up at 9:56.
Did you?
So not
good. No. Good enough.
Got all my work done though.
We got anything? See, we were there on Wednesday. Did we ever congratulate Chris, by the way, for mugshots? Winning our listener, Chris, he won the contest at mugshots a couple of days ago.
I don't know if we
there.
Did congratulate.
Yeah.
They might have on the morning show.
They're
the celebrity
Asian,
of
they were. Asian sweet and sour and blueberry infused chicken wings. So those will be added to the menu there at mugshots next week. Henninger Toyota was on Monday. That's when the morning show
a
was there.
A little more interesting
today. And, of course, we're here every day at Shanks.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you can enter every time you come down to Shanks now to go to the...
NHL Awards.
Right.
Yeah.
Want to throw out this. Shanks North, Crowfoot Terrace North, where we are today, Wednesday. Monday is family day, and the Flames play in the afternoon against Anaheim. You can bring the kids here. It's a family day game. They're encouraging you to bring the kids down here to Shanks to watch the game. So want to throw that out there because I think that's very cool.
Yep.
So if you want to do something fun with the kids, bring them down here to Shanks. They got the arcade and they've got the you know the ping pong and bowling and all of that, but they've also got the games on. So I thought that was kind of cool. All right, we're way behind, way behind. We'll take a break, get caught up. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Calgary's home for great sports talk and Flames play-by-play. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Kerr Steinberg, The Big Show. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hills has been, has been real good since he returned from his injury. So, last night... He was the story of the game, and 3 minutes in regulation, and an OT and shootout, and it was a big team effort. But without Hill's performance, we would probably be licking our wounds and getting ready. But that's how this business goes. We got great goaltending, key saves, and we racked up 2 points. We're ready for tonight's game.
Seems a little counterintuitive, doesn't it? You win a hockey game 6-5, and the coach the next day is still praising the goaltending. That's what happened, though. We talked about Jonas.
Well, that goaltender he's praising, though, didn't allow any goals. Well, one shootout goal. That's all.
But that officially doesn't go. He comes in, plays all of 8 minutes, and gets the win.
Yep.
That's good work if you can get it.
Yeah.
Right?
Do that every night. Just play me 8, get the win. I'm your closer.
It has been a very lighthearted program to this sport, at least since I joined it, and it seemed lighthearted when I was watching from afar. However, it is very serious when it comes to Kari Rammel.
Yeah.
He has been placed on IR. Every indication that I am getting, Pat, I'm not sure what you're hearing, is this is not day-to-day, likely either W-to-W or M-to-M.
Yeah.
Let's let them make that determination. I feel a little bit for Kai Rammel. I still think the Flames, regardless of what happened this year, we're probably going elsewhere for their goaltending next year. But I think you trotted out the numbers. I mean, since December, his save percentage is excellent. When you look at this team as a possession team and the amount of times that this club is outshot, and outchanced. He's been pretty good. And I'm not sure about, you know, we'll see what Jonas Hiller can do here the rest of the way. I'm not sure about him next year at 34, 35. If he's NHL bound, that might be a nice, you know, opportunity for him to go back and play some years over back home in Switzerland. But certainly Kaari Raamo, I think, has put himself back in the conversation, maybe even here in Calgary. I don't want to dismiss that. It's just my personal opinion that the Flames are likely moving in a different direction. But you feel bad anytime a guy gets injured. Anytime a guy gets injured long term, you got to feel bad, don't you?
Well, and I mean, I feel bad for him mostly because he was putting himself in a really good spot.
Absolutely. Like
he was going in the right direction for whether it be getting traded to a better team, whether it be getting a new contract with the Flames, yeah, or getting a nice contract and unrestricted free agency. Everything was pointed nicely for Kaari Raamo, and now this. And I'm with you. From everything I hear, I'm not really hopeful from what I'm hearing and the indications that I think we're both getting at this point. This is not something that's going to be, oh yeah, he'll be back next week.
The great Peter Marr often reminded me that you never play doctor from 200 feet away, or you never play doctor over the television. But I can tell you, as soon as you watch that play with his leg hitting the post like that, you hope it's a sprain or something like that.
Well, and you saw him walk off, and he was down on the ice as long as he was. And
that ain't good. Having said that, you wrote an article recently at flamesnation.ca about the potential for him being an asset at the trade deadline if the Flames choose to go in that direction. I have to admit, and this is, bad timing on my part and maybe uncouth, and I apologize if I offend anybody. I was watching the goalie at the other end last night thinking to myself, if I'm Doug Wilson, I'm getting another goalie. Martin Jones has been good, but, you're a playoff team or going to be a playoff team. I'm not sure that Alex Stalock and what we have seen of him this year, although he came in relief, I guess, of Jones in Calgary after he got pulled. But, that's one team. Everybody's looking at Nashville going, you need to shore up, do something better than Carter Hutton. I wonder if the Sharks might not be in the marketplace, because I don't...
Well, the rumors were that they were prior to last night. That was one of the big topics from the San Jose media was, Stalock's going in. They need to figure out what they're doing about their backup situation prior to the deadline. They need to see what they have in Stalock. Well,
if that was the case...
Was he on roller skates on the Michael Backlund goal? Like, what was happening there? Yeah, I mean, I know it's an odd man, but, what is going on?
Pat, and again, the guys on the radio side were picking up on it. Greg Millen was certainly talking about it on the broadcast side. He just never looked set. You look at the times that pucks got in the catcher and the trapper and just fell right back out and things like that. Now,
I thought Jones was going to come in. I thought after the Backlund goal they were going to put Jones
in. It was a little old school to me. From that standpoint, because it used to be a long time ago. And it's funny, just recently Don Cherry was on Primetime Sports because it was the anniversary of Daryl Sittler's 10-point game. And he was talking about that. I think it was Jerry Cheevers was coming back from injury. Anyway, he had the night off, and I think Reese was the goalie. And Don Cherry talked about that, is that, it used to be when the goalie had a night, when your starter had a night off, it was a night off. It wasn't, he's just not starting, he'll come in. And baseball guys talk about that all the time. If we're taking him out of the lineup, he's not pinch hitting, and that's been kind of an old school thing. And I think Pete DeBoer had that mentality. If Martin Jones is getting a night off, he's getting a night off. Because you're absolutely right. I thought he was coming out after the third goal.
You thought after the Monahan goal he was coming
out? Yes.
I thought for sure after the Backlund goal.
No. I'm just saying that I would have yanked him quicker from that standpoint. Because you can tell, couldn't you? You could tell. I mean, it's 2-0. You get back within one, and then bang. It's a good goal. Sometimes it's just the sheer volume and the time in which they, that's usually when Hartley does it. It's not even, there's been times this year where you kind of go, you can't blame them on any of them. It's just been, not a lot of shots and a lot of goals.
Yeah.
I look at San Jose as a team that needs a goaltender, and I got to be honest with you.
The Flames got 22 shots last night and scored 5 times. I mean, that's all you need to know.
Yeah, but they didn't, there was a bunch of those shots that came after it was 5-5.
Yeah.
Right? They had what, all of 13 shots or 14 shots, 5 or 6 minutes into the – do you have the play-by-play one there?
No, I just want to take a look at what they had.
Yeah, I don't have a game sheet.
I do have a Randy Chevrier.
Do you? Is it autograph?
The Flames had 11 shots in the final 40 minutes of play.
But those didn't start to come until they were trailing,
yeah,
right?
Like,
and they
once
were coming
they,
back.
Yeah.
So they had done most of their damage. You said 11 shots, and how many did they end up with? 22.
Yeah.
So they had four goals on 11 shots through 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
What you're telling me,
yeah,
right?
They had four goals on nine shots, I believe, in the set, yeah, in the first period.
So
it was not pretty.
You know, and I got to the tying goal. Not that I blame them on the tying goal, but I kept looking and going, well, they must. And then it just dawned on me, this is that old school mentality of, nope, we gave him the night off, he's getting the night off. Oh,
well,
my.
Well, there's and that's just shots on goal. So from
just so people know, we're kind of looking at the graphical interpretation of this game, and that chart that you're showing me right now is shots, right?
Yeah.
And it just it was pretty close there for the first 15 minutes.
They had five shots from the 13:26 mark of the first period to the 6:40 mark of the third period. They had five shots. So for more than about a period and a half,
right,
they had five shots, period.
Right.
So there you go.
So if I'm Doug Wilson, am I looking for another goaltender? Sure.
Yeah.
Which quickly, and I guess I bogged down on this. Did I hear you earlier? You know, Yoni Horttiel's been recalled. He'll back up. This to me is a very interesting pairing of goaltenders. You know, we saw this briefly when Kari Rama was assigned to the American Hockey League. And take it as a criticism. I don't think it's a criticism. I just think it's a very fair observation. Neither one of these goalies, despite what is outwardly said, is trusted by this coach. These are not, you know, all things being equal, Kari Rama's the starter. How many games has he started out of the last 40 or 20 or 30? I mean, he's been the guy, right? And now it's Jonas Hiller and Yoni Horttiel. And I'm really curious to see if what it takes for Yoni Horttiel to get a chance.
I'm really curious to see if he does, because I was a little surprised they didn't go with Kevin Poulin as the guy they recalled. I think that familiarity in Horttiel, the fact that he's, you know, a little bit more familiar with the group and all of that, maybe is the reason why they would go with him. The other thing I wonder is, you know, gives Poulin even more time playing in the American Hockey League, but Poulin's outplayed Horttiel in the American League. One guy's got a .913 save percentage. The other one's got an .896 save percentage. And well, Rama has been, you know, anything but impressive in the American
League. And I'm going to ask Brad Pascal that, because over and over and over again, we hear from the head coach that at this level, he's not here to, you know, why isn't Jakob playing? You know, I'll tell you what, that third pairing's not good right now.
Hasn't been good the last couple of games,
right?
That's for sure.
But I would think you're bringing up Yoni Horttiel because it's the last run here. Either you can make this work or you can't. Because
one-way contract, last shot.
Right? You may as well get your value out of it.
Yeah.
We will take a break when we come back. We've got a winner, and it might be you. It's possible it could be you.
It's not me.
No, it's not Pat.
It's not Rob.
No.
But
no.
It might be
things
you.
Things that you and I have never been accused of on this program. Right? By the way, speaking of the Stockton Heat, we got Stockton Heat hockey against the Ontario Reign.
The number one affiliate of the Calgary Flames in action against the number one affiliate of the Los Angeles Kings.
But it won't be Peter Budaj in net.
No, Peter Budaj's in net tonight for the Los Angeles Kings.
See?
It's been almost 2 years since he started an NHL game.
What bad can possibly come of that?
It's pronounced Budaj.
Right. When we come back, we'll probably butcher a name and give something away. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Proud to call Calgary home. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Kerr Steinberg, The Big Show. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
I guess if you're on the bench, you're more a spectator than kind of into the game. I mean, you're sure you follow it and you kind of feel the up and down of the team and everything. So I was kind of prepared that we go to overtime anyway. But then I was worried because I saw we took two penalties there in a row. And then suddenly, next thing I know, I was on the ice.
Jonas Hiller, he's the hero. Right now, the Calgary Flames get set to take on the Arizona Coyotes tonight. We'll have warm-up for you beginning at 6. Puck drops at 7. A little bit leery of the energy of the hockey club.
They've been pretty good on the second half of back-to-backs.
Don't you think that last night, though?
Tough game.
Nah, but it's just emotional. It's a roller coaster.
That was a roller coaster. I could see
not
that.
For you.
Yeah.
No. I mean, you had a kind of a, you know, complete laissez-faire attitude to the whole thing. Look,
I was enjoying
five
it.
5-on-3, 3 minutes ago.
I
what bad can
it.
Possibly come of this? Which are you, fanboy or hater? I can't
depends
keep it
who you ask.
I can't keep it straight.
It depends who you ask. I'm too negative or I'm a homer. Oh. It depends on who you ask.
Patrick. Okay, we got Valentine's Day. I'm not sure. What are you, got any big Valentine's Day plans?
No.
Okay.
What about you?
Yeah, I'm spending all day at the Dome teaching people about hockey.
I'll be at the Dome at 10:30 on Valentine's Day.
Well, come on up. We can use you. Why?
Well, because they practice, and there's a 2 o'clock game, so we got to get all our stuff.
Oh, 2 o'clock game the next day.
The next day, yeah, so we got to get all our stuff on
the
Sunday.
Don't forget to wave, because I'll be
over
on the other
side.
You're going to be upstairs? No, we'll be over at the Chrysler Club.
Oh, so that's when you're going to be doing
hockey
kind
is for everyone.
Yeah, I know you're doing hockey for everyone.
Yeah.
You're doing like a kind of
We're
going to
watch practice.
Symposium.
We're going to watch about a half-hour practice.
Kind of teach them what's going on.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then Willie O'Ree's coming in to talk to
them.
And yeah, we got a bunch of things. So that's how I'm spending Valentine's Day.
Well,
teaching people.
You know what?
Or learning. It might go both ways.
Because, Rob,
yeah,
you love the game of hockey.
I love, I know it, too. I'm not sure if you've heard the promos, but I know hockey. Actually, there used
Rob
to be...
Rob knows hockey.
There used to be a new... Back when magazines were a thing, there used to be a magazine ad that said I knew hockey.
Oh, is that the one where you...
Me and Pete and Mike?
Were you all dressed like 1960s gangsters?
No. Well, you looked at it that way. I thought it was an homage to U2 and the Joshua Tree.
Oh,
it was very much
like
that.
In front of the Calgary skyline.
Right? That was very much like that.
But, like, Mar was wearing an old school fedora.
Oh,
so
sure.
So were you.
Yeah.
And like
no, I didn't wear a fedora. I've never worn a fedora.
Mike Rogers had a
Tommy gun. Yeah,
had
there
a
we
Thompson
go.
With the
yeah.
with the circular
yeah,
magazine.
Yeah, we all had big cigars. Anyway.
See, do you notice how I called it the Thompson? Because that's what a Tommy gun actually is. It's the World War II era Thompson automatic rifle.
Do we want to have a conversation about firearms? Do you?
I would love to.
Do you? All right, let's do it.
My favorite firearm of all time is the M1 Garand. Or Garand. I don't know how you say it.
All right, moving on.
How do you say it?
I'm not going to go down this path.
Obviously, you know more about firearms than
Fine.
me. I don't
Thank
know.
Thank you for admitting it. Finally, you admit it. Finally,
the only thing I know
after all of these years,
the only
you
thing
sit
I know
there
more
and
about.
Finally,
the only thing I know about firearms
is everything else.
Is Call of Duty and Medal of Honor games that I
right.
used to play on the PlayStation. That's all I know. That's
all
how
right.
I know about the Thompson.
Thank you,
no smart one. Ass.
Whoa, where'd Luke come from?
We got to give away a prize, Pat. We were talking about Valentine's Day.
Do you want to do the prize first or do you want to do the music first?
Well, let's play one of my favorite Valentine's Day songs. I think will help set the stage here. So if we can have that, Will, just kind of... You know, when I think of Valentine's Day, I think of the great Jay Giles band, Peter Wolf, the outstanding lead singers. Not one of their bigger hits, Pat, but certainly
it's
one
of... It's a pretty big song.
It's a big song, but it's... Pretty appropriate for Valentine's Day.
I love me some Jay Giles.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, this is a pretty big song.
All right, name two other Jay Giles band songs. Don't go. You were going for
I
the
wasn't
computer.
Google it.
I gave you easy ones too.
I don't want to. I get them mixed up with another band.
All right, Freeze Frame and Angel.
So yeah, Freeze Frame was. Yeah. So see, I always get Angel to Centerfold mixed up with another band.
All right.
But it is Jay Giles. Okay, so yeah. Freeze Frame and Angel.
But yeah, there you go. But.
Okay, turn it up a little bit. This is
a little
this
bit.
Is Rob's Valentine's
this
Day
is my
song.
This is my Valentine's Day jam.
Is that Derek's brother?
Yep.
Love stinks. Love
stinks. See, I love that. That's the perfect. Now you, before we give this away, you have your own Valentine's Day.
So we were like, let's choose a good Valentine's Day song.
So I played this before on Valentine's Day. People who have listened to the program for years know that that's the one I always trot out of this. There's no surprise there.
So this will show the slight generation gap.
Just slight generation gap between the two of us.
This is a song that was huge in the mid-1990s. This song was near the top of the charts for a good chunk of time. I play it mostly for shock value. You put my choice for a Valentine's Day song. Hit it, Will. Let's.
Sure. This is Lewis. I was going to say Leona Lewis, but that's not right.
Donna Lewis.
We gotta
wait till the chorus.
Yeah. I like this one actually.
How long's the wait?
Come on, Will. Where do you have to go?
Yeah. What do you? You're busy.
You got a date? Jeez. People hanging on the edge of their seats wanting to know who the winner is. We'll get to that in a second. I love this song.
If there's ever a song
sure.
that makes your heart swell,
it does.
It's I Love You Always Forever by Donna Lewis. This is Delilah on Light 96.
Mookie.
Hey, Mookie here with Billy Joe on the Light 96 Morning Show, Kiss 95.9. Here's Donna Lewis, I Love You Always Forever.
Remember the video for this?
Sure do.
Yep.
So there you go.
She's a very tiny girl, if I remember correctly.
I don't know what she looks like.
He's nasty. Remember the video?
I remember that it was like in, it was a very light colors. That's all I remember
sure.
of the video.
Yeah.
And she's blonde.
Yes, she is.
So there you go. You ready to give away our prize?
You know, our boss just sent us an email and I'm
no,
like...
No, I don't think that is a good Valentine's Day song.
Just, I'm like, I'm reading it and going, what is this? Oh, okay, I get it now. What about the aliens?
That wasn't what it was.
Kirsch's choice was Alanis Morissette's right. You Oughta Know. So, happy Valentine's Day.
You're pissed, aren't you?
To all of
why? You thought you were going to have shock value.
I thought
a great song. I would have been surprised if you did some Enya.
Enya.
Or an Oko Flow. I thought that you might go that route.
Only time. I was thinking of a Mariah Carey song, too, but I was like,
really?
You know what? Let's go with Donna Lewis. This
I love Donna
the
Lewis.
Sentiment.
Yeah. It's kind of like your boy Bieber.
I love me some Biebs.
I know you do.
I'm not going to.
All right, enough of that.
We got a winner.
Keep the music playing. Of course, for the last couple of weeks, we have been soliciting your worst Valentine's Day gift story. Now, somebody today is going to get $1,000 worth of gift cards, gift certificates. What are we calling GCs now?
Gift certificates.
Gift cards?
Or gift cards.
$500 to Swizzle Sticks.
Gift credits,
spa.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. And a $500 gift. What could you buy at Coco Chocolatiers, a Calgary institution? Nobody's better than them at
you
what they do.
You could probably buy a life-size replica of your wife in chocolate if you
or
wanted
girlfriend,
to. Or girlfriend.
Or both.
Fiancé.
You could split it up, $250 on each.
I don't right. know if that really
this is actually, now that I think about
necessarily
it,
encompass the spirit of Valentine's
well,
Day.
But there's two gift cards in here, really, so you could cover all your bases. Pat, first of all, should we hear the story or announce the winner? What would we like
to
do?
Let's hear the story
all
first.
All right. Let's hear the story.
This is our winning submission for our worst Valentine's Day gift contest. The worst Valentine's gift ever was not from me to my wife, but from me to my wife. I don't know what that means. Was not from me to my wife, but from me to my wife. Okay. I think it's from my wife to me.
No, I think it's hint, hint. You know what I mean.
Okay.
Hint,
right.
hint. You know what I mean.
All right. Was not from me to my wife, but from me to my wife. My wife has never been good at getting me gifts and always gets frustrated with the fact that I have been very good with my gift ideas. Her worst gift was when we were engaged getting married in a few months and she came to my place after work in her nurse's scrubs, probably had blood and poop on them, and she handed me $40 in cash saying she was busy and didn't know what to get me. Fast forward to today, now we have a 6-week-old and neither of us has any time on or idea on what to get each other for Valentine's Day besides trying to get a nap. So that is our winning submission. Congratulations to Ryan, who has won our Valentine's Day prize.
Ryan.
$500 at Coco Chocolatiers and $500 at Swizzle Sticks Salon Spa.
I think we just made a Valentine's Day very special for some people here in Calgary, don't you?
I think so. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I think it's very cool.
Because you know what?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You got a 6-week-old child. I think they could use that Swizzle Stick Salon Spa treatment. And I think they could use a little chocolate.
Who can't use chocolate from Coco, right?
Or spoil yourself. You
absolutely.
Guys deserve it.
Absolutely.
Congratulations, Ryan.
Speaking of spoiling yourselves, the Calgary Flames taking on the Arizona Coyotes tonight. No. I can't. There's nowhere to go from there.
At first, I thought you said, speaking of soiling yourself.
Well, now that would be inappropriate if you had lost that game last night.
That's true.
Right? Then you could have done that.
Yes.
Arizona and Calgary, we'll get into that. Also, boy, there's a lot going on out there. Did you hear the comments from around Steve Stamkos yesterday?
Yeah, I was reading.
Do you want to kind
of
you want to kind
of
go down that
sure.
path? Because to me, Stamkos' name keeps coming up in Toronto and came up again yesterday. We'll dive into that story when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Friday night hockey to start your long weekend. Flames in the desert to take on the Coyotes. Free game for Rogers Calgary Flames hockey starts at 6 p.m. live from Shanks Crowfoot with Steinberg. 60 minutes of NHL talk. Flames and Coyotes live from Glendale with Derek and Peter goes at 7. Don't forget the Friday night edition of the Hot Stove Lounge and overtime call-in show. Flames and Coyotes right here on Sportsnet 960. Rogers Calgary Flames hockey is brought to you in part by the Alberta Motor Transportation Association and Regis Business Centers.